We'd all agree, I think, that one of our biggest temptations is not making time for God. We Christians, most of us anyway, don't keep the Sabbath. We don't actually dedicate to God a whole 24-hour period at some point in the week. We're too busy. Our kids have got places to go, we've got errands to run, stuff to catch up on. And if we don't fill up our own time, then the church certainly will do that for us, with all sorts of committees and meetings to attend. And so when we come to Luke 13, we actually think the synagogue leader might be right to worry about a slippery slope. You start cutting corners and making exceptions, and pretty soon Sabbath isn't Sabbath anymore. And isn't that just what has happened to us? This woman in our story this morning knew what many of you know all too well. She knew chronic pain. She couldn't stand straight. Maybe she had arthritis or some other problem with inflammation, or maybe a loss of bone density as in osteoporosis. Or maybe she had disc problems in her back. We don't know what a modern doctor examining her might say, but we can guess at what she said every morning when she tried to get out of bed. Did she have a family? Or was she facing daily pain all by herself? As we read this story this morning, we wish we knew her better, but we don't even catch her name. But here we find her inside a religious community. She's at synagogue on the Sabbath. She's there with other worshippers from her village, and she's listening to the travelling rabbi teach. And whatever mean things we're going to think about the leader of the synagogue, we need to remember this point. She is there. She is one of the group. She's there of her own free choice, just as you are here this morning. And nothing in the story would make you think that other worshippers thought she didn't belong where she was. Well, it's at this point that Luke tells us that her illness came from an evil spirit. But he has a God's eye view of the story, as it were. We aren't told what the other worshippers at the synagogue thought. Even if they concluded that a demon was plaguing her, they nevertheless thought it was fine for her to be with them in worship. And I wonder if our congregation's as welcoming as this. Well, of course, we say, and maybe we're right. I don't want to judge us unfairly, for we would not exclude a woman whose life is made miserable by chronic pain. But I wonder what we are actually actively doing to include her, or to make our congregation a supportive place for her. Endless physical pain often makes people depressed or angry. It often makes our buildings a challenge, or our worship services something to endure. And if we broaden our thinking to include people with other chronic challenges, the physically challenged, the developmentally challenged, those with deep and persistent emotional struggles, then we have to wonder, really, about how well we do. Well, this morning, this story pushes us to look for those folks around us and to do what we can to make them welcome here in our church. Well, Luke tells us that the action starts when Jesus spots this woman and calls her over. And he asks her no questions. For in Luke's gospel, Jesus is presented as a prophet with God, given insight into the hidden thoughts of men and women. And he knows what she suffers. He knows why. And as God's agent, he steps up to free her. And immediately she's able to stand and to praise God, and just as immediately the leader of the synagogue complains about what has just happened. And we see him fussing at the woman, not at Jesus. And he says, there are 6 days when a person's supposed to work, so come for healing on one of these days, not on the Sabbath. Well, let's, for a moment, listen to the ruler with as much sympathy as we can. Yes, God's people were commanded to keep the Sabbath holy. That's the law written in the Testament, the Old Testament, their holy book. And in other words, they were to do what they could do to make sure that the Sabbath is for God and for no other purpose. And God's people were specifically forbidden to work on the Sabbath. But we have to ask, what is it that counts as work? Well, all sorts of things could be considered work. And if you really want to use the Sabbath to honour God, then shouldn't you take a pretty broad definition of work? Shouldn't you leave off anything that might be considered labour? So if part of Jesus' calling is to heal, then maybe that's work for him. And to keep the Sabbath holy, he should not do it on the Sabbath. But my friends, as we read God's work, as we consider the whole of it, we realise that the rabbi's criticism is off target. For he fusses not at Jesus, but at the woman for seeking healing. He doesn't fuss at Jesus for providing it. And that's wrong, because according to the story, this woman didn't come for healing. She didn't ask. Jesus just did it. And I think more significantly, the synagogue reader is wrong to think that healing dishonours the Sabbath. For Jesus' analogy of watering your livestock on Sabbath shows that everyone agrees that providing for life needs, even if doing so involves work, is fine for the Sabbath. Your ox and your donkey have to eat and drink, and so you have to feed and water them. And this woman's life is sheer misery. What she needs is relief from her constant pain. So healing her on the Sabbath honours God. Liberating her from Satan's grip gives glory to God, as only God's power could have made that happen. In fact, Jesus argues, the Sabbath is the most appropriate time for this to happen, especially because this woman is Abraham's daughter, a member of that group that God chose so long ago. God created this people from one elderly couple, freed them from slavery in Egypt, rescued them over and over and over again from oppression by other kings, and brought them back from exile in Babylon. Of course God wants this woman to be free, and releasing her on the Sabbath shows where God's heart is. And then I wonder how we are doing as a congregation. How are we doing as a force for that kind of liberation? Again, I don't want to judge unfairly, but we may be more like the synagogue leader than we'd like to admit. For when we look at what our congregation actually does, would these things honour God by helping to free people from what binds them? If our measures of congregational health are people in pews and pounds in collection plates, then we may be doing less liberating because we don't have time for it. We need to find the bent over woman, these people who are trapped by life-sapping forces too big for them, and we need to make sure that they are indeed welcome in our congregation. And then judge what we do by what it does for people like that. Are we helping to set them free? Are we sharing with them the reality of the gospel? Because that's a good Sabbath's work, according to Jesus.